Welcome to EXU, Explorando Equestre. This is the podcast that I'm so passionate about. I just love the Spanish horse world. I hope you enjoy the interview. Please do comment and share and tell me what you think. Without being too dramatic, I've thought and talked about this interview for months. Luis Álvarez Cervera is a legend amongst not only Spanish horse riders, but internationally known as well. His first Olympic Games were in 1972 in Munich, where he came seventh in the team show jumping. His last games in Atlanta in 1996. He's taken part in seven games, and in six of those he competed in show jumping and eventing. Probably his most emotive games would be those of Barcelona, as he was competing on his home turf. He retired from formal competition in 2012, leaving the circuit after winning a number of classes in Spain. His presence within the international Olympic scene is at the forefront as he continues to train the New Zealand Olympic eventing team. He commented that he was sure he was learning more from the Kiwis than they were from him. He's received numerous honours for his equestrian career. The most recent, the Royal Spanish Equestrian Federation, the gold medal, this year in 2021, in recognition for his superb achievements with horses. It really is my honour to present Luis Álvarez Cervera. Thank you so much, Luis, for talking to me. I'm going to thank you so much for being here today.
It's a pleasure.
I've been so delighted to be able to talk to you, and there's so many things that I'd like to ask, and I know that you've done so many incredible things with horses throughout your life, and you've got to the top, the very top, with show jumping and eventing. What it's like training the New Zealand team, what it's like working with them?
Well, it's a great experience, actually, and I felt I was very honored to be chosen by them to be their jumping coach. It all started about 11 years ago, the actual show jumping coaching. But I think I was friendly with Andrew Nicholson, one of their top riders, and I was also friendly with Mark Todd. But with Andrew, we started a training story like in after Barcelona games in 92, that Lars Cederholm, who was at that time the person who trained me to go to Barcelona, and he was one of the top trainers in England of eventing, and also for show jumpers, a lot of show jumpers went to him, recommended to Andrew Nicholson to come and do some training with the horse he had in Barcelona and had a few fences down, because he was leading after dressage and show jump and cross country. But I think he had like five, six fences down, the horse. And right. And we worked together, and I think we found a way. Mostly, I remember it was on the turns. I mean, you know, the way of pressure. He was pressurizing the horse instead of take the pressure away in the turns and allow him a bit more room. Yeah, things like that, you know, just approaching things. And obviously, Andrew is one of the top in the world. You know, he's won everything.
Yes.
And it took well, and he liked it. So then he was one of the ones who pointed me to be the show jumping trainer. And that started, I think, a couple of years or before the London Games. Yeah. And at that time, Eric Duvander was the overall coach of everything. And he had competed also in Barcelona at the same time as I did. He was very, very helpful to introduce me to all of them and very helpful to her find the facilities and to develop a system with me of coaching, you know, the jumping. And I feel very proud of having been, I don't know if I will continue with them, but so far it's gone well. And I think we had a very good relation. And I find sometimes I think that I've learned more from them than they have learned from me, because they are fantastic horsemen, fantastic riders. When I mean horsemen, I include women too, you know.
Yes.
But they're really horsey people and athletes, and they want to win, you know, and they're very good riders, very good sport.
That's fantastic. Would you say that there's a different type of personality that goes for eventing than that goes for show jumping?
There is certain. I mean, now I would say, I don't know if it's the personality who takes them, drives them to go eventing or to drive them to go show jumping, but I know there's a big difference. I very much like the personality of the eventers, because they are very friendly. They're very helpful one with each other. And then they're great fun. you know, and because of the big events and every event, I mean, they live in their trucks, and they have always a tent. And the first thing that they fill up is the fridge with the nice wines and nice champagne. Every night they have a drink. They work very hard, and they socialize also a lot in that way, you know, and they're very good for the sponsors. So that way, I think it's very different. In show jumping, people are more job done and, you know, on the go, or, yes, or they go very close friend or whatever, you know, but not, there is a big interaction, I would say, into the eventers within that type of life, which is, it's very, it's a mixture of sport and at the same time of social, socializing, very, very nice.
Yes. The event is a great fun, and anything you need and anything, you know, they just say, oh, no, we're just one big family, and everybody helps each other out. And that's just around Madrid. It's it's a lot of fun.
Big difference. I think, you know, show jumping, I don't know why. They used to be before, different. You know, the show jumping was a bit more social in that way, but obviously the shows were different. You know, there were 6-day shows. There was a day, rest day in the middle. There was always big parties. Always receptions and cocktails and all that sort of thing. That's gone. You know, that's gone because now that life, it's only for the sponsors.
Oh, that's a shame.
And the riders, they have to get early because of the, you know, like in indoors, they might allow you to exercise your horse from 7 o'clock till 9, and then they have another activity. So any of your classes has finished the day before, the night before, maybe at 11 o'clock. You know, you have to go and have a rest and get up at 6, ride your horse, go back to bed, and it's quite a hectic life. And at the same time, well, there is a lot of business involved into it too, because a lot of horses, you know, that are there to be sold, and the riders, that's part of the income they have. It's getting horses ready, so the part of the life when the relation with somebody else is just trying to get to market, marketing wise. Yeah.
That's right. Okay, I'd love to talk to you about the 92 games in Barcelona, because that was very special, because you were competing in show jumping and in eventing. And also it was in Spain, so that must have been a really exciting time. What was it like, you know, to be competing in your own country in two events in the Olympics?
Well, it was, you know, like a dream come true. I always thought I'd like to do that, and the occasion came a couple of years before. I think there was one of the Spanish riders in the eventing team called Santiago de la Rocha, which at the same time, he was a pilot in Iberia. But he convinced me that I should try the eventing too for that. I had done a bit in Spain before, years before, a national championship, but, you know, like 20 years before that. I went to England and I bought a horse the year before of the games called Mr. Chrysalis. And then I went to Lars Ederholm, which I mentioned before, and asked him, I knew him, and I said, Lars, I want to try and go to the games in Barcelona, but I need somebody like you that always says the truth and to tell me if I'm going to make a fool of myself or not. So will you do that? And he said, yes, for sure. And I kept the horse with him. After a few months, you know, the beginning wasn't very convincing. I wasn't going very well. And then one day he says, okay, I think we have a chance, but we only had like 12 months to get me the experience and all that. And all went sort of well. And then he said, I think you can do it, you know. So then just go for it. So I kept my horse, that horse in England. And the jumpers were in Holland. At Henk Nuren's place. He was the national trainer for show jumping. So I was jumping from one country to another. At that time, we came very little to Spain, because in Spain, there was 5 years, or no, 7 years before it was declared the African horse sickness. So there was no traveling into Spain with horses. It only opened about a couple of months before Barcelona games.
Oh my goodness.
So to come back into my country with the horses and competed there, you know, and that was, it was a great, great experience. And the result was sort of good. You know, I was seventh individual in the eventing and fifth by teams. And then in the show jumping, we were fourth by teams. Fortunately, in the final, my horse went a little bit wrong in something on the skin. He had a bit of a sore skin, and I had to withdraw him from the last round because he was not in a good moment to do it, but you know, the Nations Cup was good. We were fourth, yes, by I think one point from the bronze medal. You know,
Fantastic.
And the games in Spain were, Barcelona games were beautifully organized, and it was very friendly. There was a great atmosphere. Yeah, it was very, very good.
So is it very different being in the Olympics in your own country to being in another country?
You feel a lot more support, and you feel in that arena. I had competed, you know, the arena was the Polo Club, Real Club de Polo Barcelona, which I had competed since late 60s. So it was like being in a place that I've been before. That makes a big difference, I think. Mm-hmm. Even though the fences are absolutely different and everything was new, but there's a lot of friends. And even in the cross country, I remember a lot of people supporting and cheering in Spanish, you know, like, vamos, Luis, you know, and all that. And I felt, you know, you couldn't fail them.
No, fabulous. So this year in Tokyo, first of all, from what I understand, it was the climate was a big issue for a lot of people.
Well, it was for some horses, yeah. Even for some people. I mean, there was one of the top tennis players, a Spanish lady player, that she collapsed one day with. So that affects athletes. And it did affect some of the horses, you know, the bigger horses, like I was referred to them like with less blood, you know, like not too much thoroughbred into them. They feel right. More the heat because they have to do more effort to move. The bodies are bigger. They need more to oxygenate more. So the heart works, they're heavier. Some of those horses in the cross country, they had to be looked after by the riders, which they did, but that they were penalized with time because they had to go slower. You know? It's the combination of speed and heat that make the difference. Horses with blood that were close to blood, they manage very, very well.
Yeah. Fantastic. And I did listen to a video that you put on YouTube about the Tokyo Games and the cross-country course. And I think you mentioned that there were some fences that you felt were more difficult than usual or hadn't been seen by the horses. They weren't common fences.
I did a comment, but not in the eventing. In the eventing, I did that it was a very fair course and very balanced, well balanced according to all the difficulties and what's the, you know, the idea of having the games with that temperature. I think the course designer did a beautiful job, you know, and well balanced job. I think that was it. I mentioned that of the fences was in the show jumping. That I didn't see it in person because I had to go away after the eventing session was finished. I couldn't stay because of the COVID rules. And but what I saw on TV, there was horses having problems with optical problems, you know, with colors,
yes,
with figures. They were like the figure of the sumo fighter. A lot of horses spook at that. And also some of the walls were very, very different. And I think that type of difficulties for the horses is not fair because there were some horses just stopping and didn't want to go, you know, that day because they didn't, that was absolutely new. I think if they, it's good to introduce new fences, you know, in the, because it changes and you go a little bit a la mode in what is happening and something that it's local to, you know, like to have a Japanese architectural wall or having the sumo, it's a good idea, but you could introduce it before, you know, like a couple of shows before or even a day that they see everything with that, with all what is going to happen on the day. Because otherwise you surprise them and some horses really get, they got frightened to death and they just stopped, you know, with very good riders on top of it. So that is what I don't agree. I think that whatever is going to be jumped in the games has to be had jumped before that the horses know about it. Okay, then you play with the height, the width and the difficulties. So that's obvious, you know, have to put the difficult because the standard is very high.
Yes, excellent. Okay, and your son is a top-level show jumper. Do you have any conversations about his riding?
Yes, I think he has developed, I would say, his own style, you know, and a way of training that goes with that style. He is very aesthetical to watch. He has a great control of his horses. Obviously, to do that, it takes some time training and the horses to adapt to that system. But I think it's he seems not to do anything, which it looks very smooth in the way he rides. I quite admire that way. You know, sometimes I just think he was a bit more practical, he would have more results. You know, like, but he has his own style, and I think when the horses understand, it is a great pleasure to watch. You know, that I think that he developed to the maximum that way with Rockefeller, the Pleville, which been his first horse till now. But actually, he's having a rest, so I would say when he recovers and he goes back to the competition, he will go back again, and he has a new horse called Legend. Which is, he did the games and he did the European Championships, and I think he's a very promising horse, and he's really now getting into that system, and it looks good, but he still needs one more year. And we talk a lot, and I try to help if I can, and sometimes the relation is not as smooth as as one would like, but it is like it is, you know. it's always, I talk to many father and son and father, and it's always the same, but at the end, we have a good relation, and I think it works.
Fantastic. Looking back on your career in show jumping, what was the competition that you've most enjoyed? You know, is there a certain place, certain country?
I liked always was, you know, because when I was a kid in the Club de Campo, I always was listening to the older people. In the Club de Campo, there's a lot of the team riders before, you know, and the Olympic riders were there, and they always talked about the difficulties of the show. Madrid was always one of the bigger shows, and it was where I was based. So Madrid was one of the main ones, then Rome, and the Piazza di Siena was one of the beautiful.
Wow, yes.
And Aachen, obviously Aachen is the cathedral of the sport, you know, and it still is. I mean, one goes there and it's one of the places where you get your skin, you know, with pimples there, because it's a fantastic place to be. I think mainly was those three. And then in the indoors, I would say I'll point to Geneva. Geneva, you know, and some of the German shows too. Hannover was fantastic, the atmosphere there. But the Geneva still is one of the best shows indoor in the world. You know, at least the ones I've been, you know. So I always pointed my horses there to be in top form for Madrid, which normally was in May. And then Aachen, and then after that, I will sort of relax a little bit the horses and then do a few smaller shows. And if we had the chance to get them ready to go to Geneva, we do a few, but Geneva was normally in November, December, to do some in the winter.
Fantastic.
But my time, we didn't do as many shows as the riders do now.
Yeah. Did you have an idol, somebody that, you know, you really looked up to in show jumping?
Yeah, I had a few, you know, but obviously the first one I heard of was Paco Boyoaga, who was the Spanish champion, and he won the first world champion to be in Paris in 52. But I would say then I was always focused on Nelson Pessoa, you know. I liked way, and I think he revolutionized the riding in Europe. Because he went for also a lot of work, flat work, you know, equitation and his horses to get them ready. I think he's been my biggest idol. And obviously, I admire the Dinseo brothers. I especially like Raimondo. And I had to admire Winkler, you know, even though there was a big difference of age, we were good friends. And I had the chance to compete with him and to travel with him in a few shows and talk to him a lot. Even though his style was very, very different to our paradigm of style, you know, but one has to admire the way he consecute all his results, you know, like I think he has all the medals he won and the way he dressages his horses. But I'd say in overall, I would stick to Nelson Pessoa of those days. And obviously these days, you know, in the modern way of riding, I like very much the way, as I was saying, that my son rides. And I'm a great admirer of Marcus Enning.
Yes.
You know? It's people who you have to admire. Difficult to copy because they're genius, you know. And in the other part of sport, you know, you have to admire Michael Young to do any discipline, you know, at the top level, you know.
Yes. Incredible.
Good job. style and flair and flow, you know, allowing the horses to express themselves, which is, I like riders who allow the horses to express themselves in the air. Yeah, he does that.
I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
It's been a pleasure. Please, thank you so much.
I really hope that you found the interview interesting. I will be publishing many more in English, and I do have other interviews in Spanish as well, so that could be useful. Thanks for listening. See you soon. Bye.